Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Do the Cure episode. This is Dan Hegerich, six-time cancer survivor. And I introduce myself that way because that's what's after my name. You know, like a lot of people have MD or DC, Doctor of Chiropractic, or any other acronyms after their name. And I don't have any acronyms, really. So the best thing I can offer you for credibility's sake is introducing myself as a six-time cancer survivor. And if you're in the New England area, the New England Patriots often introduce themselves as six-time cancer Super Bowl winners. So it's kind of the same thing. I hope you just play with it and relax into this episode. I'm shooting from the hip right now. I just have three things I want to share with you. And I'm going to start it off with a beautiful quote from Grandmaster Fu Wei Zong. I had the pleasure of meeting Grandmaster Fu Wei Zong back in 2007. I did some training with him and did some personal work with him. Here is a beautiful quote from him. When God plans to appoint an important mission upon a person, he first will torture the heart, labor the limbs, starve the body, and empty that person. Maybe you need me to read that again. When God plans to appoint an important mission upon a person, he will first torture the heart, labor the limb, starve the body, and empty that person. Grandmaster Fu Wei Zong. By the way, if you want to have a little insight into who Grandmaster Fu Wei Zong was, he basically was the individual that disseminated, I don't know, hundreds of different philosophies while he was spending 3 years in a mountain in a cave by himself studying. Wrote over 3 million words or pages of work, and then it became distilled down into MA Medical Qigong. So this man is one of those special great souls. So that leads me to three things to consider. To live an inspired life is nothing new to the human condition. Humans have a basic need to self-actualize according to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We don't like to consider them hierarchy of needs because self-actualization is not a hierarchy of need. It's actually a fundamental need to self-actualize. And what does that actually mean? Well, my studies with Brian Johnson from the Optimize Me coaching program shares that self-actualization is living according to your potential, like who you can potentially be in this life. It's basically about, can you do the impossible, like in your imagination of how you could be living your life, or how you want to be living your life, or how you dream you could be living your life. That is self-actualization, is to live that life or close the gap between how you're living now or how you're actually living right now and how you're capable, what your potential to capable living. There's a gap between those two. And living an inspired life means I'm going to go for it in this lifetime. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to see what I'm made of. And if we refer back to what Grandmaster Fu was sharing, you're going to have to think about what it's going to take to overcome complacency, mediocrity, and living according to cultural, social, and family traditions and social norms and all these other limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves and our potential. So we're in a conflict internally because we want to live an inspired life, yet we're not doing the activities to live our inspiration in this lifetime. So what does that mean? So that's going to mean that we're going to have to step into our personal power, the power of choice, of course, and that means perhaps we have to step back a second and think, inspiration and imagination might go hand in hand. So how can you imagine your life different than what it is right now? Or I shouldn't say, how could you? Just close your eyes and imagine your life, how you think it could be if there were no rules, if there were no money necessary, and the biggest one, you didn't have the fear of failing, which we'll get into in this talk a little bit later. Maybe I should step back a second here, give you a little bit of where we're going with this podcast, because like I said, I'm just shooting from the hip. I'm just kind of talking into the beautiful Yeti Blue microphone. I love these microphones. They have a good sound quality to it. So let's take a step back. This podcast is about living your life to its fullest, and to consider stretching your comfort zone so that you can expand and grow what you're capable of being and doing and having in this lifetime. So we need to live an inspired life. We need to be inspired to live in spirit, as Wayne Dyer says. In spirit, inspired. It's also a breath in, the inspiration. You take a breath in. And when we were born, we had to make an effort for that first breath. And so if you want to live an inspired life, it's going to take an effort above and beyond ordinary life effort. Then we need information on how we're going to achieve that inspiration or the wisdom that we're going to require, knowledge of how to live. And then we need self-motivation. We need to take action on the inspiration. So that's sort of a, I guess, three musketeer way to look at it is inspiration, information, motivation. So back to inspiration and the quote, when God plans to appoint an important mission upon a person, such as every human being, he will first torture the heart, labor the limbs, starve the body, and empty that person. Seems like we have to bottom out before the inspiration comes, or at least we come to a choice point, like a point in our journey where we don't give up, we don't quit, but we surrender. We surrender to the inspiration that we want to make our life better in some way. And the reason why we want more and more, and we want to be better at something, is because of what Joseph Campbell had set up in The Hero's Journey and his mythology books. We all want to feel like we're a hero in our life, a champion, victorious over the conflict that is constantly going on inside of our head, between what we think we're capable of doing and what we're potentially capable of doing and what we're actually doing. Brings me to a quote from Paramahansa Yogananda, he was a modern day saint, and most people called him a master of life. He wrote the book Autobiography of a Yogi. It's a very good read if you're interested. So here's a quote. So there are always two forces warring against each other within us. Two forces. To do right or to do wrong. I don't know. Maybe you can comment on that and see if we could have a dialogue someday down the road about that. But there are always two forces going inside of us. Good versus evil, maybe. But it is this idea that we can only live this champion that's inside of us. We can only live it through other people's lives, from those who take the risk of the heart to follow their inspiration and dig deep to go after it. You know, we have our favorite athlete. We have our favorite singers. We have our favorite actresses and actors. We have our favorite people that, or we have our favorite, you know, humanitarian, you name it. We all look at these people as though they're something better than us, greater than us. But we all have that seed of potential inside of us. That's what, if you're somewhat religious, then you would say that's what they mean by God created himself, or created us in the image of himself. Or we contain the same qualities of God. And when we see people accessing things that are unbelievable, we think that, wow, they're special. They must be special. Taking a sip of ginger tea here right now. But they're not special. They're human beings who decided to live their inspired life. And then they went and got the information, i.e. the mentorship, the community of support, the books, the videotapes, the audio tapes. And they felt that their inspiration was so important that they were willing to learn what does it take to live that inspired life. And then we get all kinds of great feelings inside of us, feeling like a champion. But then the next day we kind of feel empty. And then we need another dose of someone else inspiring us. Now, don't get me wrong. These people do inspire me. And if I'm feeling down, I'll definitely tap into somebody else's strength and inspired life to keep me on track. And I have an inspiration. I don't know what the bigger picture is of my inspiration, but let me just share it with you right here. I have shared it before in the past, but let me share it again. I have a vision that we as human beings can actually eradicate chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. Now, that's an inspiration that came from my experience of having a cancer 6 times. And of course, when the bone marrow transplant failed, that's when I had about a 12-month time frame to live. How would your life be different if you were given that, I guess, diagnosis, that someone said, you know what? You got about 12 months. That's it. That's the best we got for you. Would that be enough of a bottoming out to decide to begin to live your life, to become inspired, not just for your own life, but to demonstrate the power of the human spirit within you? And do the impossible, to make the impossible, or make the impossible possible, to transcend, or transcendence is to rise above. And in the work of my optimal coaching, we call that or refer to that as self-mastery. And when you're inspired, self-mastery is not some kind of breaking rock in a prison cell. It's not this hardcore Navy SEAL drill sergeant hell week. When you're inspired, there's a natural willingness to do whatever it takes. And self-mastery, in my personified understanding of self-mastery, is having the self-discipline to do those things that are necessary to live out that inspired life. For me, I wake up, I jump in a cold shower for 5 minutes. That's the first thing, and then I make my bed. The discipline to get in the shower, even though I know that it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Is worth the results. A little bit more empowerment that I knew I could do it. And then the next half of that self-mastery coin is self-control, which one of the cardinal virtues is, again, temperance. Temperance means to not be tempted by all the things of this world that pull our power away from us, that market how we're supposed to live so they can benefit. And it takes us away from our inspired life, our imagination of what we can do for our life. This is why most people on their own heroic journey to this self-mastery, this self-actualization, avoid TV, marketing, salesmanship, and they spend the time with themselves in reflection on their life. All the great people that you might aspire or admire, not necessarily aspire to, but to admire, I'm certain have some amount of self-mastery over their discipline to practice their art, to study, to reflect, to apply the knowledge they gain with the understanding that they can't fail. They can only learn. So the self-control is temperance, the ability to say no in the face of temptation to pull your power away from you, to take your power away from you. And let's just use a better word, take your energy away, to deplete your energy for short-term gratification. It's one reason why I practice, emphasis on practice, not perfection. I practice water fasting for 5 days, 4 to 6 times a year. That way I can practice self-discipline and self-control and get a little bit more, get a piece more self-mastery over the two forces that are warring within me. Because when I water fast, I get to see that war. I get to be with that war. I get to enter that war, the cold war, like the cold shower. I get to enter it and see who shows up during the war. It's kind of like I do my daily training, but then I need a competition, a competitive tournament, so to speak, something to go after, my own Super Bowl to play in. And to see how well my training was. And then at the end of the 5 days of not having any food, just having water, I get to take notes. There's no failure. It's just practice. It's just the game of life. So you have to be inspired. You don't have to be inspired. You can actually live the life that you're living still. But I'm assuming if you're on this podcast right now, listening to this, thank you for very much for doing so. And I hope you're getting some value out of this right now. We all have the yearning, the seed of inspiration in us because we came into this world. It's already there. We took the first breath in, inspire. Therefore, we were inspired to be here. And now, after our physical development has reached its point of maturity, the call to grow emotionally, the call to grow intellectually and creatively, and then the call or the impulse to really live our own life. It's in every human being. We came into this world with it, and we want to actualize it, as Abraham Maslow writes about so often in his work. Self-actualization. It's not this high standard of guruism that you're fully enlightened and there's no duality going on anymore inside you. That's not what Abraham Maslow was pointing towards. He was pointing towards, can you approach life with the idea that you want to live according to what your potential is or could be, or what you imagine it could be? Even though that might be an idealism, we strive for the idealism knowing that it's a journey towards it. And the more we journey towards it, it starts to draw us towards it. So in the beginning, we have inertia, of course, and it feels like a massive amount of effort. Of course it is, because it's unfamiliar territory. It's the unknown. We're going to have some discomfort. A lot of discomfort, even pain, suffering, setbacks, obstacles. Sounds like a Spartan race to me. So if there's any Spartan fans listening to this, that would be a Spartan race, right? And Spartan racers pay to go through the discomfort, the pain, the setback, the obstacles. But we already have it in life, so we don't need to enter a race to actually experience that. But again, that's one way. This is nothing against Spartan racing. It's to say that that's their place to see how their training is going. That's their competition, their tournament, to see how well their training is going, and they can learn what needs to be worked on. What did I do good? What did I do awesome and great? Now let me take a look and reflect and see what I need improving on. Live an inspired life. You're going to need information, and you're going to need knowledge, wisdom, self-mastery. And it will require maybe some mentorship, coaching, and a community of support. And that leads me to the final part of this segment, which is self-motivation. The self. Self-motivation is a growth motivation to create the self that you imagine you can become. To become your own hero. Hero, right? The hero in your own journey. The champion, the victor. Rather than the victim, to rise above, to transcend, to rise above, to rise above the victim. We are all victims to a more or lesser degree. But we deeply yearn to be victorious, champions in our art, in our work, in our play, in our love relationship with self, God, and others, you know, in our health of our body. I mean, if you're going to be a hero, you're going to need to take care of your body like you would. as a hero would. So the hero is not a Hollywood version of the hero. So you might want to get that picture out of your mind's eye right now. And let me try and give you a little bit idea of what the hero is that I'm learning about more and more each day. The hero journey, or the hero within you, is to become a good soul who has strength, or in my words, power and grace for two. Power and grace for self, and power and grace for others. To protect and preserve. To protect and preserve. And on the hero's journey, it's to protect and preserve your inspiration. Protect and preserve that, to actualize that. That's the hero's journey. That's what we're looking at. Back to Abraham Maslow, that's what we all yearn for. But somehow, somewhere, we got so comfortable. And in that comfort, we lost a piece of ourselves. And even if it seems comfortable on a cushy couch or whatever, you're probably either finding strategies to numb out the discomfort. So maybe it's just familiar discomfort. I remember being in my first oncology meeting with Dr. Cloud back in 1994. And the second statement he had for me after the first powerful question he gave to me, "Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer?" You can listen to that on the episode one first podcast. The second statement he had for me after that first powerful question was, "Dan, with a little bit of pain and suffering, you will grow stronger." And that tickled that part of me, that yearning to be a victorious person over my victimhood. To feel like I can be a champion, if I was willing to enter the pain and suffering, I will grow stronger. The part of me, the self-motivation, the self-mastery, the self-control, the self-discipline, that self will get stronger. I will start to take my energy back from how I've given it up to that victim inside of me. So he planted a seed, and I accepted it into my terrain, into my mind's garden, and it began to, I guess, germinate over the years. But let me make it clear, this was not an easy task. It's not supposed to be easy, because if you think about your life, the challenges you have faced in transcended, you learn the most about yourself. For example, in my life, cancer taught me how to live more than any education I ever received from society and my traditional education. Cancer was my greatest teacher. Divorce, as I experienced it a long time ago, was very painful, and I suffered for a little while. until I woke up in that suffering and gave the suffering back to where it came from. I said, why would I be suffering for her choices? Doesn't make any sense. So divorce, in its pain and suffering and in its challenge for me, actually taught me how to love. So I come down and summarize that with health is the foundation to life, and love is the purpose for living. And we'll need some tools, strategies, techniques on how to navigate that in a world that seems to follow a program that disease, dysfunction, and delusion is inevitable and out of your control or out of our control. It's not out of our control. I'm not a rare specimen that's ever created a healing miracle. It's happening all the time. So let's summarize tonight. Let's just do a little summary here, which we were talking about. We are born to live an inspired life or we wouldn't be here. So we took the first breath in, which is an inspiration. And there is a part of us internally that has a basic fundamental need to self-actualize our life or to head towards our ideal life of what we are capable of doing and being and becoming. Then we want to acquire the information or knowledge from mentors and community of support, meaning ask for help, ask for people, how do I manifest this inspiration? So gain the information, apply that information through self-motivation to keep moving towards that imagination of what you can be, what you could be, what is possible. What is possible in your life? Maybe take some time tonight, tomorrow morning, maybe over the weekend. Sit for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. And close your eyes and just let your imagination go for it. Just go wild. I mean, I have my imagination, right? That my vision is that at least I can make a contribution to the eradication of chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. The problem with that vision, I can't do it by myself. I can make a contribution to it, but I can't do it. That's why I titled this podcast, Do the Cure. Part of doing the cure is live an inspired life. Live the inspired life. And maybe we can avoid having to bottom out with what Grandmaster Fu Wei Zong had shared in the beginning of this podcast. When God plans to appoint an important mission upon a person, he will first torture the heart, not the body. He will torture the heart, labor the limbs, starve the body, and empty that person. Bottom out. To bottom out. What's your bottom? This is Dan Hegerich, six-time cancer survivor. I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate you for listening. I also greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it if you would share this podcast with your loved ones, with your friends, family, strangers, anybody that you think needs a little loving push to live an inspired life. Thank you so much. Power and grace to everybody. Bye-bye.